Hey, Quack 12 fans, we got a very special episode with you. We reviewed the one, the only Animal House. That is right, the 1978 John Landis classic, filmed at the University of Oregon. To cover this monumental movie, which most of us didn't love, we got a great comedian, Adam Broud, to help us dissect this flick. And if you'd like to watch along, you can actually see this episode with your very own eyes on the Quack 12 YouTube channel. Follow him at Adam Broud, A-D-A-M-B-R-O-U-D on Twitter, so you can check to see if he's coming to a town near you. But on to the show. Glad to have you here. Quack, quack.
Quack! Oh shit! Quack! 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 Quack!
Quack! Welcome!
Quack! 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 Quack!
I am your host, Adam Chamail.
God damn, I tried to get there, brother. Yeah, I don't know what happened to me. I'm Eric Schroeder.
That is right. This is the Quack 12 podcast, a normally sports-related podcast about the Oregon Ducks, but instead we're diving in to film history, to talk about a movie. There's been a couple movies we've talked about. We usually find
we watched that one about the basketball. Cyclist. I mean, the runner.
Oh, Prefontaine. Yeah,
we watched Prefontaine.
What is this? You're seven, and you don't know Prefontaine's name. It's amazing. Every week, the show for 7 years
up with
now,
it.
Eventually. We thought he was a cyclist at first, so maybe not.
He's got the body of a cyclist.
We did with that was Without Limits, right? I've already forgotten. There's two of them.
We did the one where he walks in, he gets his foot measured, and then later on they're on the back patio and he gives him. That's both of them?
That's both of them. We covered Love and Basketball because there was one quick shot where someone had an Oregon Ducks jersey on.
Love and Basketball.
Yeah, we covered that movie. And we've been saving the actual movie that has anything to do for when we could get a good guest, you know. Like, we've had a lot of guests in the past. All crap, really. Let's be real.
Mediocre at best. We have had stand-up comedians. And they're hostile at best.
Yeah.
They're
very hostile.
Hopefully.
And actually, Gaby, she has a Washington Huskies movie that's out right now, Boys in the Boat. Washington versus the Nazis, basically, is the plot. Now, we're not talking about that one. We're talking about, probably
that's the
a much
weirdest
worse
plot
movie
I've ever heard.
It's in theaters right now, directed by George Clooney, actually. But we're talking about a movie by John Landis, a movie that may get us into some hot water.
Written by Harold Ramis, among others.
Written by Harold Ramis. National Lampoon funded and whatever.
I mean,
produced.
Look, National Lampoon, if
he takes
you
a
don't
bite
realize that's problematic now, then
it's
be
a little
prepared.
Rough. We needed a good guest, you know, our first good guest of the podcast to come in here. Someone who knew the comedy world, because obviously we got the sports thing locked down. We're the nation's number one Oregon Ducks podcast.
Prefontaine, Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
Name more. Okay, no, you're out. A dear friend
Dan Lanning.
Of mine. We're good.
Hey!
A dear friend of mine from good Oregon. That's right, the place where Bill Bowerman himself, Mr. Future Nike and stuff, played by Sutherland. What a small world. Am I right? Both movies. He must be a huge Eugene Oregon fan.
I bet he's got a home there.
Maybe. I don't know. I forget if he's alive still or not, to tell you the truth.
Fuck yeah, he's very alive.
a dear friend of mine who's also a very successful comedian in Utah. I had to make up a reason to talk to him and having him on my podcast. This is my main way to talk to anybody.
Right.
I can't talk to anyone without a mic in front of my face. This is Adam Broud. Hello, hey. Adam Broud.
What's How's up? I'm a stand-up comedian, and on behalf of all stand-up comedians, fuck you guys.
I know. So we invited you to watch this movie. For right off the bat, had you seen this movie before?
No. So Animal House. I got to be honest. I still haven't seen it.
All right.
You guys told me to watch it, but it wasn't streaming on anything. So instead of Animal House, I watched the closest movie I could get, which was We Bought a Zoo.
Yeah, same thing.
If you think about it, is an Animal House. So,
hey! All right.
We'll talk against each other, and I'm sure.
Also, Animal House and We Bought a Zoo. You've got Mark Wahlberg, who probably has punched as many minorities as have been punched in Animal House.
Who's more controversial, the life of Mark Wahlberg or the fictitious story of Animal House?
Yeah, I did watch Animal House. I watched the whole thing.
This is to something that I noted. Maybe we dig into this at some point if y'all also found this.
Okay.
So the main character, Larry Kroger, if I say that name, does that you know who Larry Kroger is?
Is that a character in Animal House?
I think calling anyone a main character in this movie is already giving it more credit than it is.
Oh, okay. Okay. So Larry Kroger is the character who is the initiate.
Pinto. He's got the girl, right?
Yeah.
The girl, and they get, at the end, it's the grocery store, and then divorce 4 years later.
Right? That's right. Amadeus.
Oh, wait.
The guy who plays Amadeus.
Larry. Yeah, maybe that's Larry Kroger.
Yeah.
No. Amadeus. Larry Kroger. Larry Kroger is the character that I don't want to give away the big punchline that we find out on the football field, but he meets the girl in the grocery store and asks her to the party.
Yeah.
That's Larry Kroger.
Yeah. Same dude.
He's one of the initiates.
The guy who played Amadeus.
Supposedly a majority of his character is based off of Chris Miller, who was one of the writers, one of the main writers. So that character's okay. We already know all that, which concerns me a little bit.
Yeah, I would never admit that. Where it's like, so there's a character you might find a little familiar, and he's a pedophile.
No joke. So
is this you?
Learning about the making of this movie, there's a lot of people being like, because the original script, we wrote a script about the Manson family in high school and basically Charles Manson doing his Charles Manson thing while he's like going to the prom and stuff. And that's the original script.
That sounds great.
It actually sounds better.
I love that. That sounds very good.
It would like make more sense if this were the Manson family, that was the original script, and then they're like, well, we needed to rewrite because that wasn't selling, and so everyone just got all their college stories, Harvard, from here, from we just threw all college stories, and it's just like, God, I hope it's the stories like Killing the Horse and not like
dude,
some of the other ones.
Okay, actually, first off, let me ask, I guess, you guys, since I can't ask the audience, do we need to break this movie down really quickly is what the plot was, just so we can then get into the nitty-gritties?
I mean, the plot is as basic as it could possibly be. It's a bunch of horny, cool frat guys.
Kind of being terrorists.
Yeah.
I mean, the one guy is a total asshole, and then he's like, Mom, why'd you cheat on me? And then she's like, I'm so sorry, I love you.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Before that dude's an ass. I just want to preface real quick, I love being Aaron's backup to no one, to pitching stuff.
Yeah, I guess I'll talk to you guys.
I guess you guys. Who else do you want to have?
Well, in spite of not having a larger audience, let me ask the two of y'all. Do we need to run through the basic plot of it? Because there is a premise to it of sorts.
I mean,
it's a three strikes, you're out. They're unruly. They get strike three. It goes to trial. They get kicked out. They seek revenge at a parade. I think that's basically it.
But yeah, all of that is still being pretty generous. There was, I was like 45 minutes into it, and I'm like, I still don't know what I'm supposed to care about with this movie. Mm-hmm. But it makes sense. If they were just going around and they're like, I got a college story, and then someone's like, I had statutory charges. And someone's like, that reminds me of one of my stories.
Right.
There's a, makes a lot of sense. It feels like that. That's most SNL movies back in the day, right? Where they just do a bunch of sketches and then they piece them together and then they have like a very thin story that goes over top.
I had to like kind of wash the taste out of this movie out of my mouth. I watched the Blues Brothers to be like, I know John Landis is a good director. And
that is the thing, as we were even saying, where it's like, well, you know, it was written back then. I mean, when was the Jerk written?
Like that before this. Yeah. And like Blues Brothers is like 2 years after this and is such a, there's really not many controversial at all moments.
The Jerk deals pretty directly with like race relations. I guess I haven't seen it in a while, so maybe someone's going to comment on it and they're going to be like, you think the Jerk is acceptable? I remember it having some race jokes that I was like, but this is that's funny. He didn't realize he was adopted by a black family and stuff like that. I think that's a good joke.
Yeah, I think there's a really clear line in that, because I'm no prude or anything. There's moments where I was
currently aren't wearing pants, right?
I'm not wearing pants. I could prove it right now, but yeah.
It was horrific what I had to see before they let me on this podcast.
In theory, the joke of someone getting a boner and getting pushed off a house and falling onto the ground on a ladder, that is funny to me. Like, that is a level of comedy that I'm willing to be down with. And even, the topless pillow fight, it's a bit much, but it's going so over the top.
Yeah.
It'd be better if there are, some female characters that you didn't have to take your top off to be in this movie. But
I have an alternate.
That level of joke was like, okay, it's supposed to be preposterous and stuff like that. It was the moments of going to the next window and then having what felt like a 4 minute shot of but then we're going to really get this lady's cans. You really felt that in the movie of just then we'll get this can shot over here. Yeah. This kid's loving it.
The 5 pairs of titties, and he just wants to see big pair of titties.
What sucks about that one for me is that I love the payoff of that joke, though.
The boner, yeah.
Because he just goes he just goes so stalemate, and just that fall backwards, I think, is so.
He's got the such best a great part of this physical, movie, right?
Yeah, it's got such a great physical reaction that my alternative is I was like, okay, maybe instead, what he initially walks up to is, let's say, same amount of women, but they're in a very vicious, Dungeons and Dragons match where they're being hyper aggressive, and so because of that he's like,
wouldn't have made all this money over.
You guys are going about this in the wrong direction. The answer isn't give more clothes to the women, it's give less clothes to the men so that it's equal.
It is true.
It should have been look at all these boobies, and then it shoots to the outside shot and all the dudes are Winnie the Pooh and just like,
sure, sure.
Even
we see John Belushi's dick.
What did we just watch?
Woman in the dishes who's like, and I'm watching these guys. And then it's like,
that's good.
Yeah.
And then it's like half an hour of just, and who's watching her and who's watching
more and more.
Yeah.
And you go on a tour of Eugene, Oregon, of everyone watching each other wanting to fuck, but no one can. And that is cinema.
That's money.
That would have doubled.
Was just that I'm kind of okay with the nudity of the one of the house mom or whatever, only because she's also a character throughout the whole movie.
I think that's the I guess the main.
It's a character throughout the movie. It's one of the two women that is with the fraternity, with the bro-y fraternity, the shitty guys.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, shittier. Well, that's fine because at least we're getting a lot more depth to that character. Whereas like the other is just like, let's just put a bunch of random naked women in a room and have them hit each other with pillows. I think it'd be funnier if there was eight women like about to murder each other because of a D&D quest.
You really want this D&D thing going.
I think it would be a better payout for a first half of that joke to then have him get stunned to fall backwards. I think you could still make that work with a tweak.
I just would have loved to have not seen the boobs that we later learn are supposed to be on a 13-year-old.
That right. was the absolute
the
worst
fact that
part
we
of
like
this movie.
They show her topless and like 20 minutes later, they're like, by the way, she's supposed to be 13. And I'm like,
yeah,
fucking euphoria moment.
Well, they don't even just show because like
these are high school.
It's the exact thing too, where it's like because they're setting up the joke with like she's chewing bubble gum when he first meets her. She's she has to say like I need to tell my dad who's the mayor. You know, like that I need to be home. So they're like setting that up, and then there's the paper and the bra, which is also like he's young. And then the absolute worst part about it's like a crude joke. It's pretty gross, but the worst part of it all is then you get not just one, but two shots of her topless of someone that like is established is 13 years old.
That's a good point. You see
it's established later. Yeah.
26. You see the boobs twice.
Yeah. There you go. That's the level of this movie.
I mean, y'all are
clearly isn't 13. Like the actress is clearly not.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
That's illegal. It's illegal. It's always been illegal to put a 13-year-old naked.
I don't know, man. John Landis are both, has done some illegal shit in filmmaking. I don't know if you look that up.
What is that? What's that? American Beauty? They have like 17-year-old boobs in that, and I'm always like, how? No wonder Epstein found it so easy to do
thing?
It.
yeah. The part that y'all are kind of, or maybe you're just willingly not talking about it. I'm not for sure. Part of that entire little storyline that I was like, yo, that's actually... that's the worst thing ever, and it was unnecessary, was the good angel, bad angel bit.
Yeah. Oh,
where the bad angel is literally like, rape her. She's passed out. You know, she wants it. And I'm like, what? Chop this out. Get rid of this part. Yeah.
There's actually, there's a Cheech and Chong movie. I forget which one, they have that exact same joke with Cheech. Except it's surprisingly, if you can imagine it, it's actually worse, where Cheech looks to the audience and he's like looking at camera, you know, he's like, which like, what should I do? What would you do? And he goes like, what do you know? And then he like continues for lack of, so,
you know,
that kind of shit was in the air in a lot of 70s and like even a lot of 80s movies.
I mean,
like nasty
dude, actually
Revenge of the Nerds, right? Like same kind of shit.
Yeah. You hit on a great point there too, because in the latter sequence, when he moves over to the second window, he also does the break the fourth wall. Look at the audience what I have stumbled onto.
I'm not going to lie. Like, him looking at camera and doing the eyebrow thing. Like all of Belushi's physical comedy are the highlights of this entire
movie. Yeah. Who doesn't know? Guess what? I'm a zit. Like everybody knows that.
Yeah. The I'm a zit. Yeah. Like him going the food line and just eating every single thing is
but so you know what else is like a really great scene? It's the one that's the reverse of all this pedophilia. It's the one where the dude seduces the old woman.
Yes, I wrote that too.
The moment that they're like, I mean, for anyone who hasn't seen, this whole frat house is like vile and disgusting.
Yeah.
it looks like the house Adam Schmidt lived in when I visited in Seattle. It is so gross.
It's dude, you don't even know, actually, because before that, I was going to say the worst parts of this, well... okay, not the shit that would put me in jail, rightfully, a lot of this movie, unfortunately, I was like, oh, I've been in this exact situation. Like, I've basically that gross in Eugene, Oregon. Like, you saw my house in Seattle. That had nothing compared. Like, there was adults living in that house. The one I lived in Eugene was truly fucking gnarly, nasty, a bunch, like, six dudes that just could not take care of themselves.
Which, this house is like that, which made the joke that much better when there's, like, this college kid who invites the wife of the dean's wife. Who's trying to like pin him down. So the dean's wife comes to their party to have relations. and you've never, I don't think, we hadn't seen the guy's room before, I don't think. And he flips on the light, and suddenly it's like mood lit, and there's like print everywhere. And and it's like a sex engine sort of vibe.
Yes, it's very sexy.
Like a, but not in like a, as not creepy as possible. Like, obviously, if you weren't there for it, but if you are, it's like, oh, you made your room for sex.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, specifically for
a playboy.
Yeah, for 50-year-old women's sex.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And that was like, I thought that was probably like the best, funniest like scene to me, where it was
I
just
circled like, every moment so I thought was the funniest, and definitely trying to have sex, like really float, like trying to hook up with the dean's wife is up there. I circled it. So
I just love flipping on the lights, and suddenly there's just animal print everywhere.
And her being wasted showing up again is very funny to me.
She like runs over all the cars to get to him and stuff. It's very funny.
Yeah, like showing up late into a college party as a like full grown woman was that really killed
it. Funny enough that it's been replicated, right? Like, I've never seen the full movie of American Pie. But I know that, like, Stifler's mom or whatever, like, I've seen that scene. Very similar vibes, right?
Yeah, I would say I felt like rewatching it the other day, I kept having those moments where I was like, holy shit, for as many different problems there are with this, this is, I've seen 20 plus genres of comedy that are all pulling from like this deal. Like they all have the same tropes that began here. I feel
there's so many like college part, like Wilder and shit like that.
Oh yeah. And I was thinking the one, the one that kept hitting me where I was like, man, they really just kind of took the whole premise and gave it a 90s spin was PCU.
PCU? Did
we reach that one? Yeah. It's PCU is with, who's the smart mouth guy? And he was in Entourage as the agent, Jeremy Piven.
Oh, Jeremy Piven.
So it's Jeremy Piven is the leader. It's like the exact same kind of crew. Everybody's a fucking, freaking geek and like wild boy, child. But what's great about theirs is that the big end, gotta save the fraternity party, features George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic. And so really it's a big ass jam. Yeah, like they're there and it's like pretty great. So,
the music, legit. That was so good.
Oh, dude.
Adam, I should tell you this.
Yeah.
One of the main reasons why this is so associated with University of Oregon is specifically that shout sequence, the song, shout like when they're doing that.
5 minutes out of a full movie to just dance to someone doing a cover, but like it slaps. Like, it's a good cover. It's really good.
That is truly the peak of the movie. That was I was actually like, I'm enjoying this movie at this point.
Well, it's also then, like, everyone in that scene has consented to everything that's going on. It's the only
moment. That is,
and we don't know she's 13 at that point.
Yeah, everyone.
Right. That is the party, right?
Having fun.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's bar. That's not when they see him at the bar.
It's no, that's different. Party. We'll talk about that.
Right. Because that is not the peak. Part is not the peak.
The peak of me going like, and pulling my shirt collar out. But so the University of Oregon basically recreated that scene and then popped in all of their most famous athletes. They recreated it. It was for when we were going to the championship in 2014. It's a big Nike commercial, and it's pretty long. It's like 2 minutes long or something. And they made it for that, but then we lost the game, so they didn't air it. So instead, they just play it every third quarter in between the third and fourth quarter in the they'll play that video, and they'll play the full shout, and it's tradition. Everyone dances to the shout. So, like, that specific scene, like, actually, as corny as it is, like, gets, like, pulls my heartstrings because I associate it with every good Duck football memory. I didn't know that. I always assumed that guy's name actually was Otis Day, but he is an actor. Mm-hmm. I have his real name here. And because this was such a hit, he changed his name to Otis Day. And got the rights to the songs and toured with this band. Like, the band became real because of the movie.
Great. I love that.
That's very cool. That's also cool that Oregon does that. I went to BYU, so we do the same thing there, but with He's Not Heavy, He's My Brother by the Osmonds.
Wait, is that a joke or is that real?
That's a joke.
Yeah, damn it. You have to ask. I love BYU's, it and I want to believe it.
BYU's pump up song is just, He's Not
Heavy. Dude, I mean, come
he's
on.
My brother. It. And everyone's just holding each other. There's baptisms in the back.
I mean,
that'd be rad.
In today's world, I believe it.
We just played Liberty University.
In today's,
in today's world where the Osmonds are the hottest thing anyone's ever seen.
I think, and like the one-liners that I knew, you know, there's a million one-liners that don't age well. I was just kind of letting those roll off, like water off my back. Like, I'm dating, you know, hard R. Like, it's like, that's the time. That didn't age well.
You know what's funny?
There was key scenes that were hard to look past, truly.
Yeah. What's funny about that one, too, is I really liked that joke. And I was like, oh, wow, they could have literally just said moron.
Yeah.
And the joke of him going, is he bigger than me? You know, it's like, that's still good patter. You didn't. But anyway.
I love Karen Allen, too. Do y'all know?
I thought that was
funny. Yeah. So even though like that doesn't age, it's still like, well, that's what people talked like. Like I'm willing to accept that. You know,
plus it's coming back. People are in the stand up world, it is coming back.
Oh, good. Thank God.
This is a one liner from early on. I don't know if y'all will hear this very well. I don't remember what his phrasing
was. Good for a podcast
was.
Then. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But this is the dean at the very beginning when he's first talking about his issues. He states the following.
Every Halloween, the trees are filled with underwear. Every spring, the toilets explode.
Was that audible at all?
Oh, yeah, I heard it.
Okay, I just love that, like, his delivery on explode.
The dean is my favorite character maybe in this. Like,
he might be one of my favorites.
Like 60s, just like, whatever you do, don't ruin the dance, kind of.
Well, if anybody's seen Twisted Sisters, one of the two, I think, right? And they have two different music videos that start the same exact way, where, what are you gonna do?
I wanna rock!
This movie just had that, and they were like, what if that's a full character? And it's like, what's his motivation? Anger.
Yeah, it is. It is funny that because of the time and the aging of the jokes, all of my favorite characters are the bad guys in the movie. Like all of the cool
Donald Sutherland,
who we're supposed to be rooting for, I despise them all. But like the Niedermeyer character, who has the weird relationship with his horse, like throughout that whole thing, he is a total psychopath at such a beautifully comedic level.
Also, other bad guy, I don't even remember what the character's name was, but the one that the dean is constantly talking to, saying he needs to like fix everything for it.
Mm-hmm. Right, he's like the leader of that frat. Yeah,
I will say,
the hand jobs?
Exactly.
I thought that was a very funny job of him always being plotting.
Yes.
That is pretty funny.
But also that it's not working.
Soft, like that's great.
Yeah, that right. Yeah, it's not working.
It's also the funny thing of like there's one level of making like a homophobic joke. Typically, it's not very funny at all. But like it's the joke of like he is part of this frat which is clearly homophobic. But then he's clearly doing homoerotic things like spanking Kevin Bacon.
Yeah,
and then like getting hand jobs while he's thinking about Animal House and being
those guys, right?
Yeah,
what like they're doing right now.
This is revelatory. I did not realize it was supposed to be homoerotic in the
slide. I think that's
idea. Oh, yes. Yes.
Now I'm like, oh, that's the joke.
I
just thought he was impotent. I thought but that was so much of the movie. Like, it's so, like, dated that.
Yes.
I mean, we started to talk about the bar scene. When they walk into that bar, and it's a bunch of white kids who walk into a bar, and everyone's black, and the music cuts, and the black guys look at the white kids. And it's white kids who have been so insanely destructive this whole movie.
They're
like breaking bottles for no goddamn reason constantly. They walked into this bar and my initial reaction, I was like, oh shit, yeah, because the white people are gonna fuck shit up, right? Like, of course I'm scared of these white kids. They're like privileged assholes who break everything. And then the joke is supposed to be, oh no, not violent black people.
It really is. Some of which we met earlier. Like some of which we
know them and they're nice. Yeah,
these are good people. We had a great time.
They came over and played at our frat.
We've been before.
Did not grasp the joke because and that happened apparently a couple times where it's like, get it? He's gay. And I'm like,
you guys the most subtle racist joke, I would say in this. I would say the most racist joke probably that you can maybe like not catch is when they're talking about, so they're at that bar and he's one of the main guys is talking to the dates that they abandon at that bar.
Right.
So one of them, they're talking and she's like, so what do you study? And she goes, primitive cultures.
Yeah.
And then a hard cut to Oda's day. And it's like, that's the joke. That's just the fucking joke.
Yeah, that was
fun.
Oh, fucked.
My God.
That's for sure, this movie, you need to delete that scene. I would assume if it's does this get played on cable television at any time?
I bet it does all the time.
They must remove that scene completely.
That was like a TBS classic, I feel like.
Yeah, and like you just got to cut out the nudity. And I think the nudity, I think it's very clear. You probably aren't like shady scumbags like me, so you two probably never seen this movie. But it's like a Porky's thing. Like this thing for like the big selling point is there are boobs splitter
it's standard late 70s, 80s.
Yeah. It's like where else are you gonna see boobs?
Comedy movies.
Animal House, that's where. Yeah, that vibe to it. Which is my pitch for this is if you update it, even though this is like taboo and a lot of people would hate this, you gender flip it, right? So when they're up in the like looking in the window, it's literally just a shot of 10 dicks flapping around.
Have you seen Bottoms? Have you seen the movie?
That kind of sounds familiar, like it, right? It just came out this year, and
it's
generally that premise. Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of the same thing where it's like a sex comedy, but. It's as if your typical frat bro sort of mentality people were lesbians instead. So it's like lesbians trying to hook up with girls. It's fun.
I'm not opposed to sex comedy at all. No, I want to see The Curse though.
Yeah, I'll be.
Most it's got some great dick jokes. Stuff,
I was like, so long as the actresses didn't feel as if it was like the only way you're gonna make it in this industry. Like,
right?
It probably was. But if it was, I'm like, I don't think it's a big deal to show your boobs or your penis on whatever. Who gives a shit? Yeah. Like everyone should be able to see everyone naked, and we all know that. We all know this.
Yeah. I mean, let's do it right now.
That's mainly what your stand-up's about, right?
We
should be getting
we can't see our friends naked.
Yeah, you know. Also, for me with nudity in movies too, there is a degree of it where I'm like, look, they're getting paid extra. They agreed to be paid extra to show off their bodies. It's probably fine. They're the ones who made the moral decision. Unless
they're supposed to be 13 years old. Yeah.
Correct.
Movies.
And obviously there are circumstances where you're like, fuck, a 10 extra grand could really help me because I'm just starting out and I'm totally broke. And
that's
so maybe it's tough. Yeah. Tough line.
Which gets weird where it's like, I don't want anyone to be put in that position. But at the same time, there's also a part of me that's like, God, I wish someone would pay me $10,000 to show my dick. That would be
I'm not joking. When I lived in Austin.
Yeah, too.
I misunderstood where this conversation was going.
Sorry.
I'm not joking. I'll give you 10 grand
When I was still in Austin, I lived up in this neighborhood called North Loop. And there's a 7-Eleven around the corner from our house. And I walked down to it. And the night guy was like, it's my final night. I'm out of here. I'm fucking done with this place. Fuck this place. Like, super happy. I was just getting ice cream because we were going to watch Battlestar Galactica. And I'm like, that's great. What are you going to do? And he goes, I've started my own porn production company and I'm making movies. And then he offered me $1,000 to sit in front of a camera and just jerk off. And he said, you can watch straight gay, porn, it doesn't matter, whatever you need to jerk off, I'll give you $1,000. And I was like, let me go ask my girlfriend real quick.
That's a problem.
You can, and then she said, fuck no. Really? And I went, you okay.
Amazing you have that big dick energy that you
yeah,
have.
Clearly.
This guy's worth $1,000.
Sight unseen. Yeah.
This is also like, I'm 23. You know, it's like one of those deals where I'm like, okay, I could either go sell 20 of my records to go buy this one stupid thing that I want. Again, or I could just go jerk off for an hour, which I'm going to do anyways, and get $1,000.
13-year-old Aaron, that's fine. Like we've been
saying. What would have been great is if you had followed through, and then if someone had done a podcast years later where they watched that and then analyzed it.
I was going to say,
surprise,
that we would have pulled for right now if it was out there.
Let me show you guys a video. I'm glad we got here. So this is me.
It turns out that you just invite guests so that they can like rate your guys' dicks. That's what.
Yeah, you watch every episode, and we're showing that video every day. See,
this is the level at which this is what happens to men when they watch Animal House. Is that they get 10% dumber and become more Neanderthalic and caveman?
You thought we said Oregon ducks? Sorry.
I'll tell you, it's be Oregon. Someone who writes that out all the time. The amount of like Oregon fucks. Oh shit. No. Oregon dicks. Shit. No. There were some funny moments. Funny moments that have popped out to you? I mean, when Bluto pees on them, that's funny. That's funny. When he's taking to pee in the bush and they're like,
oh, at the very beginning.
Oh. Yeah, and he pees on him. That's a funny thing to do.
It's a good way to introduce a character where it's just like, this guy gives so few shits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, his ending line where he's like, 7 years of college down the drain?
Yeah.
Also very good.
He is by far the funniest, especially because there's a lot of it that is just physical comedy. Like when they're breaking in to put the horse in the...
Oh my God. The way his mannerisms and his
real Jack Black energy.
Yeah.
And then when they're all escaping after the horse dies, serious Three Stooge energy. Mm-hmm. With the and then there were a handful of moments where I was like, even though this movie kind of sucks, you know, absolutely. John Landis, he was putting it together. Like, I liked how many characters there were. And then, like, for at least the first two thirds, right when you were about to get bored, you would jump to another hijink. Yeah. And then, like, 50-50 chance that hijink is, like, completely...
It's
like,
very... I feel like that's the whole structure of, like, Wet Hot American Summer is get 15 people in here so we can constantly... Because that was the other thing I noticed... Once I started grabbing videos of different moments that I really liked, is I was realizing like, oh shit, the funniest bits are about a minute long. Yeah. And they are just sequencing them in a way that it starts to feel a little bit larger. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
I'll admit I've got mixed feelings about this and I couldn't like quite settle it where there's this is a more serious comment, I guess, towards cinema. But I do get mixed feelings on one side where, like I said, I was 45 minutes into the movie and I'm like, I don't know what I'm waiting for. I don't know what I'm rooting for. I don't know what I'm hoping to see. But the flip side of that is I do love a movie that's like Hot Rod, for instance, is like that, where it's clear that it's just like, hey, we've got a bunch of sketches that all kind of have the same sort of vibe and the same sort of character where we've got like one loud person and we've got one sort of silent but physical comedy type person. Let's just take all these sketches and we'll just kind of shove them into an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And we'll call it a movie. Is that cool? And there is a piece of me that like really loves that. Like I think that's so fun that not every movie has to be the same thing. Like I still love a good, like most SNL movies that are really great comedies are like those character comedies like Will Ferrell, Kristen Wiig, those types of movies where one character is driving. So it's really easy to get that full arc. And I think those are great. But at the same part, I am like, I would hate to lose the whole idea where it's like, no, everything plot, plot, plot. What's going
right?
Storytelling. And then instead of just being like, I don't know. It's just fun. It's just funny.
Yeah.
Fun.
That was something I thought about too while watching this. And I kind of just, and I, Adam is obviously going to know a lot more about movies and shit because I don't really watch a lot of movies anymore. But I will say, I feel like that era of like early to mid 70s, a lot of movies made at that time spent a lot less time with dialogue. So there are, you know, 3 to 5 minute chunks where there is no dialogue and just things are happening and you're expected to be able to follow along with the physicality of
definitely
it.
A lot slower pace.
And I right? do feel like we have moved. Yeah. The pacing is different. The storytelling style is a little softer at how they reveal everything.
Yeah. Well,
and I don't know if that's, I don't know what that is.
We might have comments who are going to like correct it, but I think a big part of it is like it, even during that time was still the trend, like stand-up comedy was pretty new. Like the art of jokes was still pretty new. And the influence of like vaudeville and stuff was still pretty big. Like Steve Martin was probably the biggest stand-up comedian around.
Right.
Time, you know? And I love Steve Martin, but yeah, it's very character, very character based, very a lot of prop comedy, a lot of physical comedy, and that's like a lot of stuff. And it wasn't until you get like more Richard Pryor and stuff, who obviously he was like a lot more like, no, this is what I'm saying, and that's what's funny about it, or whatever. But I think we still had a lot of that influence at the time. So all the top comedians, John Belushi, I'll be honest, I don't really like a lot of John Belushi SNL because it's so physical comedy based, like. I remember being a kid and seeing my dad die when he's out there, cheeseburger, 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 cheeseburger. Uh-huh.
Pepsi, and Pepsi.
And my dad's like, this is comedy. saying cheeseburger?
Because they don't, no pizza.
I'll tell you,
or whatever.
So Blues Brothers, because I watched that today. That is like the peak for Belushi, in my opinion. Like, it's absolutely great. And like John Landis in general is a pretty awesome director, minus those three people that he killed accidentally. And then
come again.
You guys ever see the Twilight Zone movie? You guys remember that one? There's three different sections. He directed. This is it. His third of the Twilight Zone, right? He doesn't like to talk about this very often, but
did he do the John Lithgow one?
He did one that's based in like Vietnam. He didn't do the John Lithgow one though. That's a pretty good one. But so his was based in Vietnam, so it had a helicopter in it, right? And because he just completely blew over a bunch of safety regulations with this helicopter, these two very little girls and an actor died via helicopter, and he's part of that rich club, that club where it's like celebrity who has gotten away with murder, you know, like he's absolutely.
And now he's coming out with a new movie this year. Did you know that? Him and Alec Baldwin. Yes. So heaven help us.
Yeah,
that's what the movie's called. It's
gonna be giant. Heaven help us. Yeah.
It's a buddy cop movie of two directors who really want their film to be made. That sounds like a good movie.
Funded by the people who made that submarine recently. Yeah.
And speaking, because I agree, I don't often really like John Belushi. I kind of find him annoying for whatever reason.
Jim Belushi's worse. I think we all agree with that, right?
Yeah. Okay. But
you don't like Life with Jim?
What I thought was there was a scene when the new recruit is like super wasted. They just got back from whatever hijinks and they're in the garage.
Yeah.
And he's trying to cheer him up. But doing it by making like goofy faces and, you know, like the classic Three Stooges type stuff. And I was like, you know what? That's actually really charming.
Yeah.
Because it just shows this is a dude that loves comedy. And this is exactly the style of comedy that he grew up loving, right? Is like that type of vibe.
Yeah.
And he's so good at doing that because, a person of his stature, when you watch him like do his little runs, he's so light. like that whole Chris Farley thing. Where it's like, yeah, the dude is big, but he can just kind of throw himself around.
What is it that gave Belushi and Chris Farley this energy? I wish I could have.
Yeah, some of
this.
I don't know.
Seriously, what type of, what are they smoking? Okay.
What are they?
Well, I feel like, honestly, not, I don't know what your listeners are like. I feel terrible. Like there's going to be so many people.
They're football fans.
Yeah, there's going to be so many people bad. In the comments who are like, oh, Animal House is bad because woke. Like, well,
yeah, whatever. I was wondering. Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, like, this movie is insane. Like, a lot of it. And it's so obvious how often that, like, there's a dude who's feeling a little sad. And so John Belushi feels the need to cheer him up. The flip side, there's another scene where someone's roommate died and they're like, bet I can fuck her out of this.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Like, it's so crazy that it's like
good when they can punch.
If you hate wokeness or not.
Oh,
be like, if someone's like, I'm a little sad. And it's like, oh, how nice to cheer him up. You should also not be like, hey, if a girl's best friend dies, she's probably a little desperate. And if you play your cards right, you can trick her into thinking that you were dating her dead friend. And then you can get some titty stuff out of it, dude. Like,
they run out of that black club like the characters in Ghostbusters when they first see the ghost in the library. Like, they're that afraid. They're like, whoa! Like,
they
not play, being
chased. Like, they play chase music, right? We're like, bam, bam,
bam, bam, yeah, bam, it's like bit. Very similar chase music. Abandons their date.
No one's even chasing them.
No one's chasing them. They bust into like three different cars.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Well, I mean, yeah.
So that does beg the question, though, right? Like, is that a joke that they know? Like, is that the joke?
I think the joke is that they're college kids, and this is a dangerous place for them to be because this is a CD black club.
It really is just surface level.
It is just that surface level, yeah.
I'll be honest. Now that you say it, I'm not entirely sure because I could kind of see that where it's like, no, the joke is they're like these privileged idiots sort of thing because of how many other movies are that like John Belushi and people have done where it's like, obviously these guys were good friends with black people as well. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I could maybe see that was supposed to be a joke, but if so, it didn't do a good job describing that. And also, I mean, a part of the problem with the whole movie is the heroes suck. And the movie, I feel like, keeps trying to say like, hey, these guys suck, while at the same time being like, But don't you like him? And I'm like,
you're kind of guys. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm I think I do like him. Like,
and to that point, before we started taping, I was really wanting to dig into a section of it, which is Kiefer Sutherland at the beginning.
Not talking, Kiefer Sutherland. You said this.
God damn it. I keep saying Donald
Sutherland. This is his
Donald
father.
Sutherland. At the beginning of the movie, there's a part where he's talking about whatever that book is that the Milton author wrote. Oh,
this is a great quote.
His whole thing is he goes,
this is Donald Duck, who says this, right? The actor?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He goes, he doesn't age well and his jokes are terrible. And that's at the beginning of this movie where I have to sit there and go, is that them knowing that they're about to make the most, like, catch-all bad movie because it's guaranteed to get made? You know, is that a self-referential? Are they that smart? Well, they
succeeded.
Or is that time stamping it?
Succeeded.
I don't know. It struck me as interesting because I was like, well, that is this movie. It didn't age well, and its jokes really aren't that funny.
Adam, you brought up, like, you don't know, like, the react, because I'll tell you, like, anytime you post something even a little bit not right-leaning as a sports kind of thing, we do get people randomly just being like, oh, shut up, cucktard, MAGA kind of shit. Not many.
They all seem to like me, though.
Seem like you. Yeah, you're the right-wing one, I guess. But
also, like, how cool these guys sound.
They're pretty cool. We're trying to win them over every week, and we just can't get them. Do you know Liberty University? It's basically MAGA University.
Oh, don't show this picture. I hate this picture.
I gotta show them. Oh, I think we still have it. They have
a nightmare. This is a nightmare.
Based off Jerry Falwell, a very not good right-wing Christian guy, and they're called Jerry's Jokers. So these are the guys we're dealing with here. That Jesus. Are constantly, I know, it's truly like we're living in Batman times.
They look so stupid.
I was really wondering, like, I don't know if we're going to get many people like going to the mat defending Animal House who have like genuinely seen it. Because like to defend this movie, to be like I feel like you have to be like, all right, some of it hasn't aged well, but because to fully defend this movie would be insane to me.
Well, like,
for all the reasons. Okay. And it's old as shit at this point.
Here's how I'm not concerned about getting too much grief about this is that what I do know, this is one of two of my dad's favorite movies.
Oh, wow.
Really? Red flag, dude. Cut ties.
He is of a demographic who don't do comment section because he's 70. Yeah. Like the people who would still be like, that movie is funny, and I don't get why you don't think it's funny. They're fucking old because they were 16 when they saw this movie in the theater.
So it's
like we all, if you're, you know, if you're past 80, you get this movie's probably not the best movie for today's youngest minds.
Y'all, I did my research.
I
watched a 40-minute documentary behind the scenes making of this movie. Didn't really learn much out of it, except for I learned like a couple of stories where before filming started, basically the main cast, like the guys who you think of as the crew, like Pinto and Otter and Flounder and I don't know. What's
Bluto?
Bluto, not Bluto. Belushi's too big at this point. The other guys that aren't Belushi.
Oh, I see. Okay.
They went to a frat party on the U of O campus. Yeah, like before the shoot, and they got their ass kicked, apparently, and they all got a big fight, and they said that's it really funny. United them. And they all hung out weeks before the filming and created a real bro-y frat kind of atmosphere, which you can see throughout the movie, like including keeping Kevin Bacon and the guy who you were talking about who's got that kind of helmet on time. They like didn't talk to them and like shunned them the whole time. Kevin Bacon said he was kind of hurt by it, actually.
Oh.
So there's that. Yeah.
I'm not surprised at how little Kevin Bacon actually did in this movie.
Exactly. It felt like,
I mean, he was low on the fucking cast line in the beginning.
He said he barely did it, and like when they had the premiere like at a movie theater, they gave him the ticket that was like in the nosebleed section, so he didn't really get to sit next to anybody.
What I mean, and no one believed this is right at the beginning of his career, right?
Yeah, he's a waiter like at this point, and
he's nobody.
He was. I think this is after, I think, or right before. He's also in one of my favorite movie franchises, Friday the 13th. Part one.
Oh shit!
That famous scene—he gets stabbed in the neck.
Never seen it. He's
very low level. Not really. Yeah. Donald Sutherland, very cool actor. You guys ever seen much from him? I mean, there's the Prefontaine where he plays Bill Bowerman. There's
he's in the Hunger Games.
What's this movie?
He's in the Hunger Games. Is he President Snow?
Hey, actually, there's another president in this movie, Matheson, the guy who played Otter, the guy who hooks up with the dean's wife.
Yeah,
he played the president in West Wing, the vice president in West Wing. And he's also in Leave It to Beaver, which I have now.
Let me find this thing.
Speaking of Beaver, that end joke where they're like, he's a gynecologist.
Oh, my God,
that did it. That didn't age all those because I knew the end. Okay, because I wanted to save the end bit for the near end of the podcast here. So let's get in to I loved the energy.
The act of terrorism.
Yes! The parade. Are we talking about the parade?
It was full on terrorism. Like they were full on.
They ended our threat. Let's try to actively murder people.
And I actually love that energy. And again, you see the whole like original script of like the Manson family. Like
I still wish that movie had been made. That's
funny. It is funnier. I think you could make that movie.
Oh,
the age better.
The Manson family is just like a bunch of teenage fuck ups. That's very funny.
That's honestly it. Yeah, it's like we should write this. Like I loved the bits, like a few little bits that I liked from the end is like them leading the marching. How easy it is to
just get them to go down an alleyway.
I love that. And that it keeps cutting back to them and they're still like running into the wall.
They just can't stop.
There was an element of the movie that did drive me nuts where it's like everyone around them is so stupid. Like I kind of hated it when Otter he has to give the argument, and he gives the worst argument ever, and he's like, we're not going to stand here and have you besmirch the United States of America. Yeah. And they walk off, and somehow that's like, well, what can we do?
Sort of. Well, they expelled him. They expelled him immediately. Yeah. They walked away from the throne. They're like, all right, you're expelled.
But I do also love that whole thing. But I did love that part where it's like how fun that a marching band would have. Yeah, would just
like you can completely take control and like mind control it.
What I
in
love
general,
about,
I love the chaos. I love the dean choking the mayor. Yeah. Or no, the mayor choking the dean because he's ruined everything.
I also love the mayor being vaguely mobster that whole time.
Yeah.
For seemingly no reason, that he's constantly threatening the dean in the same way where he's like,
yeah,
you're going to come out on my streets? I'll kill you for it.
Yeah, I know. The idea of it happening to the mayor, too, was very funny. I really felt like, you could have done like, I thought the daughter was going to be like the dean's daughter, but I guess it's the mayor's daughter. You know, the daughter that comes out and says, this is the boy that molested me.
Which, funny line.
Funny line. It is a funny line.
Dean said, not a bad line.
Not a bad line. It was also really strange because, like, when they're on the football field, you know, and she's like, I'm 13, it is a really weird choice. Then they like fade to black. It's not like you can't really say yes or no what happened after that point, you know, like, so it's like, okay.
I didn't actually think about that. I just was like, okay, yeah, let's get the fuck out of here because that's a nightmare scenario.
And then we have Bluto doing his swashbuckling thing that made me laugh.
Yeah.
Enough. Then he grabs a woman dressed as a pirate and throws her into a car unwillingly, which is still kind of adding to the.
Yeah,
that's the 30th rape joke of the movie, I guess.
But you know, they became happily ever after.
But
so
they do become, yeah.
And what was also it? Great joke that he becomes a senator. That
is very funny.
That was very funny.
7 years, not so much wasted as it turns out.
I was so let down because, like, one of the most famous things about this movie, I would say, is the whole bit of like, you know, what happened to them afterwards. Like, usually that's reserved for picks, and then they do it in this comedy. Some of the funniest ones were definitely that they became the senator. I really liked married in 64, divorced in 69. That was
that too, because there were several parts of their relationship that I'm like, am I supposed to be for this? They're both horrific people.
Yeah, it's like
there was nothing wrong with her. They gave her almost no time, then they went and she's fucking somebody else. And it's like, okay, well, Donald Sutherland is a cooler character. She should be with him.
As a Raiders of the Lost Ark fan, I'm like immediately just won over by her because I love.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I'm a big believer that you break up with someone before you fuck somebody else. It's the only thing you do that out of order, and it's like, hey, there's something wrong here. You should have talked.
I would almost argue through the minimal conversations they had and the energy that was in those conversations is they both knew they weren't together anymore for a long time.
He did. He did take out a date. When he was
exactly.
Going out.
Oh, I'm not saying that he's a guy. He's by far worse than she is. By far.
Yeah.
I do love the line. This is just me trying to remember every little funny thing I possibly can. When there's the very classic funny line of like, did we quit when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Right.
And he goes like, Germans?
Let him go
like,
with it.
Forget it. He's rolling.
Yeah.
I ran a message board, like Oregon Ducks message board for many years. And that was a common, like if someone said something that everyone disagreed with, someone would say, forget it. He's rolling. And that brought some warm memories for me. I love the joke of right after all the shit's gone down, like they've truly terrorized this entire parade. That one nerdy animal comes out and goes like, Can we talk you into one more chance? I thought that was very funny. Like,
that was great.
It would have been funny if at least one of them went to jail for a very long time for what happened that night. I think that would have been funny.
Well, at least one of them disappeared, and I like that it was
D-Day, right?
Which was fun. I also like that they kept calling that kid the smart one. But they also outright said his grade point average was
like 1 point something.
Yeah.
Like, okay, smart guy.
They
refer to him that way constantly. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Fucking,
hey, he's the smart one. Hey, Brainiac.
Which is,
yeah.
GPA is 1.2.
Yeah. I love the smart one out of five people. Well, it's like, well, yeah, because one of them, fucking D-Day, doesn't even have one. And then Bluto is just straight up zeros.
Yeah, straight like, up zeros.
That's half your, yeah. And then one of them was 0.8 or something.
That is very funny.
Oh, God.
I think a big part of this movie is how much better it'd be if you had female equivalents of the Animal House. If there was a gnarly pretty that they were all in tandem with, you know, had some agency, I feel like that would go a long way in this movie. Instead of,
if they had one single female writer in the writer's room, I think it would have gone a long way for sure.
Yeah. What's worse than this movie, actually, again, in part of my due diligence, I watched two. One of them I had already seen and I hated so much. It's called A Stupid and Futile Gesture.
Oh, yeah.
Which has some great actors in it. Basically.
Yeah, it's very bad.
I hated it. So I hate it more than the movie, for real. And it has Will Forte in it. It sucks. In 2018, it's basically about the creation of National Lampoon and a little bit the creation of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more masturbatory than masturbation. Like, it is fucking, it's so them just patting themselves on the back. And they include a moment where they like, shouldn't you have had a single woman writer or a black writer on staff? And they're basically like, hey man, it was the 70s. Like, it's a really weird movie. Fun cast, where like it'll be like Joel McHale playing Chevy Chase.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of endless, like everybody playing the person that you know, but it sucks.
While talking about the misogyny of movies for just a second, maybe I don't, well, this is probably only going to add to it, but I'm going to say it anyway. When you guys watch these old movies, is it just me? Wait, when was this movie made?
78.
78. Yeah. Is it just me, or do boobs in the 70s look different from boobs?
They hit different. They do hit different. I mean, let's be real. That those
the pointy. The ones, they're like pointy. Right?
Yeah.
Am I crazy in saying this? What happened?
I think you're crazy for saying it, because what you're actually noticing is the kind of boob that the white men in charge have decided are in vogue. And so that's what is being shown.
That is true.
All kinds of boobs have always existed. It's just, in the 70s, we liked them this way. In the 80s, they were supposed to be this way.
I think there's some unique plastic surgery going on specifically in this movie. Specifically in the...
Did that exist back then? Yeah.
I think
so. To a degree.
I'm fairly sure.
To a degree. 70s would have been...
Looks like I'm about to do my favorite research I've ever done. It really was. Every time a girl took off her shirt, they look great, but at the same time, I'm like, this is not what I'm quite used to. But
they hit different.
They're always great, but this is
so funny.
It's undeniable,
guys.
Undeniable.
I'm gonna tell you, you got to get out there. You got to see more boobies. There's so many different kinds. You're gonna be blown away. You'll be wowed.
Well, here's the thing. I've seen so many genres of bosoms over the years.
So many.
But it is what you were saying, that they were all very similar, where they were all like kind of narrow, lifted, and pointy. Like, they all poke.
Maybe, yeah, maybe Landis was like, these are comical. Let's go with these.
I didn't feel like that part was comical to me. I don't know.
I also watched the, I forget the exact name of it. I should have looked it up. But the Animal House TV show.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Why?
I got to do my research. You know, I do my own research.
Did you learn anything about this movie from it?
Did you watch We Bought a Zoo?
We Bought a Zoo, bro.
I'm getting to that
this
one.
This guy says he likes Animal Houses, and yet he never fucking seen We Bought a Zoo.
Have you watched Mouse Hunt?
No, I have seen Malice Hunt. I have seen Malice Hunt. This was Delta House. Came out the same year because this movie was a freaking huge hit.
Wait, it came out the same year?
Same year. And not only that, but a lot of the cast is the same, which is kind of sad, in my opinion. D-Day
wow, this
is
really
it.
Is way more related than I expected. Okay,
well, yeah. Give me this. They're probably just throwing money at him, right? Where it's just like, yeah, we got one success. Let's ride this.
Because the Dean is in it.
Great.
DJ is in it.
I feel like he's done a lot of TV, though, too. I've seen him in a number of things.
Flounder is in it. So the big guy, you know.
Right. Okay.
I liked that.
He was funny. And they said Bluto. I'm never going to rewatch it. You can't get me to rewatch it. So it's kind of lost memory. But I believe they said Bluto gets sent to the army after the events of Animal House. He just gets shipped away to die in Nam, I guess. And so his brother, though, who is transferring from a military academy, Blotto, that's right, Blotto, he transfers over. At first, he's like a generic, like nerdy kind of guy, but by the end, he kind of snaps out of it and he's literally eating glass bottles and like sucking down the beer. So he just becomes Bluto at the end. It was interesting where it's like, take Animal House, add a laugh track, and then take out any kind of thing that would be controversial on 1978 television.
Do you know Blotto? What a tough role to have.
Blotto, it's tough. The show failed and I have no idea who played Blotto.
Here, time out. I really hate to, I just want to make sure I'm getting all the facts right on this.
It's important.
And I hate that I have to do this, but it's going to drive me nuts.
Okay.
The TV show says that Bluto went to Nam and died.
Oh, does it? No.
No, I'm asking you.
Is that what you just said? Him dying, but.
Because he's supposed to become senator. So he goes to Nam, survives, becomes senator.
Yeah, I guess he survives. Yeah, I guess he survives.
So he's a senator with PTSD.
You know what? This makes me so happy that I looked this up. I am so happy, Aaron, that you asked me about Blotto. Because I just did a little bit of my own research here. And it turns out the guy who played Blotto, are either of you Jesus Christ Superstar fans?
No, not at all.
I'm a diehard. So the guy who played King Herod, but also if you've ever seen Billy Madison.
Yeah.
The guy who plays the wrestler, the principal.
Mm-hmm.
That he plays Bluto's brother.
Wow. I love him.
Pretty cool.
I personally just love that you're using the word research the same way my dad does when he talks about the vaccine.
I mean, I'm probably going to just as credible sites here.
Yeah. I did some research. You Googled? You went to a subreddit?
Gotcha. And I kept looking until I found the results that I wanted. I don't know what else there is much to say. I'm looking at these people.
Bad
movie. We started this process asking the question, is this movie funny? That's all I really want to know.
I was trying to get that out at the very beginning of the show.
So honestly, I thought I was going to love it going into it. I was
really
so unfortunate.
Stoked.
Yeah, my dad loved it. I love SNL. All that.
Yeah.
So wait, had you never seen it before you watched it for this?
No way, man. No, never.
I've seen bits and I've seen all the famous ones. Another one that it's so like kind of overplayed that it's hard to say it's the funniest moment, but it probably is when he smashes the guitar. Like,
I honestly don't like that scene because it's so part of the fucking zeitgeist of Animal House. I'm like, okay, we all get it. You smash guitar.
But if you've never seen it, seen it a million times,
right?
The idea, like, I've been that fucking guitar guy. You've seen that guitar guy.
Yeah,
it's a funny part
of the problem for most of the movie, and for watching a lot of old movies, where it's so many moments where you're like, I've already seen this joke, and it's like, you've seen this joke because of this movie.
This movie, exactly.
Yeah.
No other movie would have made this joke if Animal.
Kind of the same thing. I was going to bring this up earlier. It's another one of those, I feel like, what has become a very much used scene for a lot of comedies is Bluto at the end, given the like, let's go fucking do it. And then he takes off by himself
you know, it's very much Will Ferrell in Old School. Let's go streaking.
Yeah.
And then he's the only one streaking. It's like a great.
I mean, the movie's so iconic.
I feel like this movie did do a lot of firsts.
The movie's so iconic that, like, how many times it's like a trope. The shot of him chugging the whiskey or whatever on every college dorm room wall. Like today.
Yeah.
I mean, to the point that I literally just saw a little TikTok video of there was this guy who was his first day at work, and they made him do that with a real bottle of whiskey.
Oh, that's insane.
And I will say I was like horrified, as was everyone in the comments. Like, everyone's like, is he okay? Like,
that's
like a terrifying scenario to be.
I hope he doesn't operate a forklift.
Yeah.
They showed him like half an hour later, and he was too drunk to stand, and he was also whimpering, and he was like, help me. And everyone's like, no. Like,
that's the worst.
It felt like being in high school again, where suddenly you're just like, ooh, E-bombs world, what's this funny video? And it's people being decapitated, and you're like, holy shit, why did this? I asked Jeeves for skateboarding.
Back when it was good, when Animal House was real and E-bombs world ruled the world. Brother. Oh, man.
Did you ever do the frog in the blender where it had the different speeds on E-bombs world?
Oh, wait, I may have done that.
It was a cartoon.
Not everything could be Homestar Runner. Not everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Any other little funny bits? Anything we can wring out of making a case of this being a good movie?
Yeah, I think the storyline between, what is his stupid name, Needlemeyer, and his horse is great. From the way he baby talks with the carrot in his mouth while he's feeding it. I think it's a weird relationship that I think is really great.
I love when the horse is dead and they're having the meeting in that the dean's office. The guy who comes in with the measuring tape and he measures the horse and then he measures the door is fucking hysterical. That is very funny. Which, by the way, little fun fact that I almost forgot here.
Yeah.
The University of Oregon. So Animal House, they had everything greenlit. Basically on the National Lampoon name, they're like, we want something from you, so make us anything, whatever, who cares. And they had the cast, they had everything ready to go, but they needed a college campus, and every college campus was shooting them down except for the University of Oregon. President was more than willing, was like stoked, like really desperate to, because in the day he had a school, he worked at a school in California, and he said no to a movie that later went on to be The Graduate, so he could have had prestigious college, you know, like film.
He was ready to make his fucking.
So he was ready to the point where the dean's office in this movie is the dean's office.
Oh, that's awesome! I was kind of wondering about interiors. I assumed obviously Animal House is a set. I was curious about his office.
This is going to be a little bit boring for y'all having never been on the University of Oregon campus, but I imagine there's some listeners that are going to want to know a few things. I have it listed here. I can say it really quick. So the Delta House, the actual, you know, like fraternity house, which I was never part of a fraternity. I actually hate frats, like to every fiber of my core, like the idea of a fraternity, like just frats in general. So I think that's a hard jumping on point for this movie as well.
Yeah, friendship. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean? it's not even just the like bar of like, oh, okay, you're a college boy. It's like you're a frat college boy. It's just such another level.
Well, you've never liked Greek people in general.
No. So. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Learn the alphabet.
Shout out to Nicholas Ferrades. Ferrades for just a second.
Roosevelt Rough Riders. The Delta House is completely bulldozed, gone. That was over between Hilliard and Alders Street. It was a real place.
It's been bulldozed.
Yeah, for real, right? Ugh. Like, guys, when I tell you that I lived in a place that was that nasty, there was a point where one of us was especially irresponsible and was like, I don't want to pay the trash bill, the bill to take out the trash. And so he just stopped doing that. So they stopped picking up our trash, which is probably like fucking $3 a month. I don't know. Yeah. So for like, we just didn't take our trash. So we just had a room. We were like, we'll just put the trash in there. Because none of us were responsible enough to do this basic
room. Yeah.
So we just put it in a room. Room that eventually became full of actual nasty, moldy trash.
What in the world?
I am Bluto is what I'm trying to say. Except for the cancelable parts.
I felt like just watching this movie, like every time they were in that house, I was like, I'm going to get hepatitis just watching this.
It is
the fact that you've got hepatitis D at this
point. I live that life.
Form of hepatitis.
Yeah, I live that. I absolutely live that. I've 100% been these that look exactly like that because there's something specific about like the mold in a Eugene basement that I can recognize from that. We had the quad is in here quite a bit, obviously. Right. Girlinger Hall will be in here. It's like kind of set as the women's dormitory right behind Jane Sanders Stadium, which is where they play softball next to Hayward Field. That's where the whole training. And I liked when they were making fun of it's punching up when they're making fun of the military. Those were always good jokes.
At the same time, I was so thrown off the first time that they were all in military gear. I was like, wait, is this a military school? Like, did I miss something? Was it set?
Just the one guy is also in it because we need to get him into that other group as well to show that there's
it's near the ROTC, right? So on campus. And then famously during actually this time in real life on the University of Oregon, the students burned down the ROTC.
Holy shit.
Protests. So I think that's the idea of it, that you can like go to college and then also be basically part of the military kind of training.
Well, I mean, you're getting ready for NOM, right?
Yeah, honestly. The cafeteria fight, that is the cafeteria.
Oh, wow.
In the Memorial Union Hall or whatever it's called. So that is the actual cafeteria. And then the parade took place in Cottage Grove. And I do believe they still celebrate like crazy. Like
that's
funny. Like, they try to break like the record for like largest toga parties and stuff.
That's
in Cottage Grove. Yeah. And this movie was only made supposedly because Donald Sutherland was down to be in it and bang a college student, I guess.
Well, we don't know if they had sex. They were just bottomless.
Yeah, they're just not wearing.
I mean, also speaking to your point, Donald showed his tuchus, and that's a great step for men in movies.
He did show his tuchus. He did show his tuchus.
One step for men, everybody. We've shown our tuchus.
It was a man butt. Yeah. Actually, if you want to see more of Donald Sutherland's tuchus, watch the movie Don't Look Now. Because there's a scene where there's like a sex scene in that is famously rumored to be like, oh, no, they weren't joking. They just went at it.
Oh, they like just really had sex.
Huh? Him and his co-star is like, no, they just fully had sex and filmed it in that movie.
Hey, man,
I've seen that movie and I believe
you
it.
You believe that? What if I just want to see his ass? What if I want to see
Sutherland ass?
I want to see tuchus. I want to see ass.
Yeah, I want to see the ass. I do want to say... Or wait, was that all the filming locations? Or
that was about it. That was about it.
I wanted to go back to the horse joke with the guy doing the measurements. The reason why I think this joke is so funny, why I think it's so funny, though, is that horse walked into the room.
Yeah.
So it should be able to fit back through the door.
Yeah.
But he's taking measurements from like up here, right? And like from where he's at to the ceiling, decides he needs to chop off the legs, which implies that he's just gonna carry out the horse like this.
Yeah.
But
he was gonna do that regardless.
Wait, you chopped off the legs so you could carry it out? I love that little joke. I also love right at that point, whenever they walk into the room and they're like, oh God, dead horse. It's the beginning of a reoccurring joke that Belushi pulls where he puts a TH on the end of holy shit. So it's holy shit. And he'll do it. That. He does it later on in the movie again where it's like, oh God, this dude actually maybe this is like, this character's stupid.
I think he's stupid. He's proven that he's stupid. He has a 0.0 GPA.
Right.
This guy thinks the word is shith. That is fun.
Yeah, he thinks the word is shith.
So I love those little things.
I also loved that the guy who is responsible for taking the baton and leading them down the alleyway.
Yeah.
You never ever see him in the movie.
He doesn't come back
until Belushi is giving the speech when he shows up. And he just calls Belushi a moron. And that's like his one line. And then the next thing you see him in, he's doing the deal. It's like, did they invent that character just to give like a friend a part or something? It was so random that I enjoyed. I was like, that's funny that they just bring in a brand new character in the last 10 minutes of this movie.
This movie needs more characters.
I like about that part, though, the whole parade thing, is I love how dumb these guys are, but that they're all master welders. That's what I really like.
Yeah. Well,
none of them go to class, but they all are able to basically weld a brand new car somehow.
Right. D-Day seemed to have that kind of savviness to him the whole time, because he's also he's a motorhead. He's on
Bucket. Pluto as well helps with that, right? He's also there.
Yeah, he's like his little handyman. You could say that they're like actually a classic version of like the comedic villain duo, you know, the one that actually has some smarts, but in the other one that's just the henchman running around kind of stupidly getting into stuff.
Yeah. Well, there was just so much of the movie that I felt like it was just trying to communicate multiple things. Cause even like the first part of it where they're like in the classic frat and everything's uptight and it sucks. And like, to be new sucks. And then you go into this fraternity where there's even that speech where, you know, they're like, hey, does this guy suck? Yeah, but who didn't as a freshman? Like, we all sucked as freshmen. Uh-huh. We're here to help each other out, guys. Like, it was great. But if only it wasn't like, we're all here to help each other out. So let's cover up each other's rapes, right?
Yeah.
It was for anything else, there would maybe be a little bit where I'm like, oh, I am supposed to like these guys. But it just constantly felt as if it was undercut by like, I think I'm supposed to like these guys, but why are they making them like so awful if I'm supposed to enjoy them, you know?
It was funny to be like the difference between like, well, here's the bad frat. They're a bunch of racist, Nazi, sexist guys. And then here's the good frat. They're slightly poorer, kind, sexist, racist guys. Like,
right.
There wasn't that much of a difference. And they're only helping each other out, really. And
honestly, I don't even know that they did a good job of showing some kind of wealth discrepancy. It really was just the only real difference was that one house was tidier and said yes to the dean, and the other one was dirty and just disregarded anything the dean had to say. And that's about the only difference.
Yeah.
I like the dean. Again, I love the dean. Is absolutely my favorite character. I think that's about it. I think we can flush this turd out of our memories forever. I never need to see a clip from this movie or anything, except for the University of Oregon video. That is, like, that's the one thing I like about this movie. And my guess is a bunch of Oregon Duck fans, that is going to be their only actual relation. Like, a little tidbit of like, oh, they filmed that on the University of Oregon campus. And that one shout video, and that is it, honestly, I think. And I'm fine with that, because this movie sucks.
Yeah, I'm excited to fight with my dad about this movie.
You can like come back. See, that's in my head I kept thinking about the guy who defends this movie, like, and how hard that would be to defend like every bit of this movie. It's like, well, you just gotta understand it was a different time.
Uh-huh.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, because of how like disjointed the movie is as well, where it is like a lot of sketches that have been kind of put into a movie in a way. I wouldn't be surprised if the average person who has the memory where it's like, no, I loved it, I bet they can hammer out like the same piece as we did, where it's like, you telling me the zit thing's not funny? You telling me the car thing's not funny? You telling me? And it's like, no, that's all funny. It's true. But then I'm sure if you tell them this other stuff where it's like, well, you know how he like is an extreme pervert and like peeps him in on girls, and then they like cover for each other for shit, and then like he rapes a 13-year-old. Like, what?
It's like, no, Otis Day scene.
Like, I don't know that it was that intense, was it? And it's like, yeah, it's that intense. And it's like, oh,
I will say, I honestly,
when guitars get smashed, I don't know.
Yeah, basically. I think I could
I could replay it for my dad and be like this scene, watch this. And he'd just go, huh, I guess I just forgot about all that.
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, you should forget about all that parts because A, it's not funny. B, it's not funny.
Because he would just be like, because I mean, my dad was the type who he wanted to like raise me on every piece of media he ever loved. Uh-huh. He used to like quiz me in the car. He would turn on the classic rock station. And before they would say the band name, he would turn it off and be like, okay, who sang that song? And I would be like, I don't know, REO Speedwagon. And he'd go, think about it, Adam. You think REO Speedwagon sang that? Like he would be intense with it.
Did you listen to the tenor of the man's voice, you child?
One day you'll take this to your children.
Yeah.
And what will you do with
that? And honestly, in retrospect, like I love it. I think that's so fun. But he used to do that with movies too. And Animal House, he like, because I couldn't watch it, he would tell me about like,
yeah,
it's so funny. You've got Belushi walking down this line and he eats all this food and he's like scraping it through.
Uh-huh.
He gets the line and he grabs the Jell-O and it's a big old plate of Jell-O. And he brings it up and he looks around all coy and then he
it is funny.
And he's like, isn't that so funny? And anytime we have Jell-O at home, he would like kind of act that out and stuff. Like that was the stuff that my dad loved. It was never, where he's like, and get this, you know, there's the kid. And he's like, your roommate died. I was maybe we should fuck now. Yeah. Like it wasn't that stuff. Like, I don't think that's what people really love about the movie. People just love.
Well,
hijinks, you know,
while I do. Yeah.
The hijinks are fun.
Yeah. While I hate the defense of, well, it was a different time then, that is a very enlightening. When someone uses that argument, it becomes enlightening because it does showcase that, no, really, at that time, people just didn't give a shit about this. It was just fine for Bill Cosby to make jokes on stage about roofying women, and we all laughed at it because it was the 70s. You know, like it's a weird reality disconnect, much like we have our own versions of that today.
Right.
But it is like
the flip side.
Yeah,
is of course that it's like, hey, it was a different time. And it's like, not for the people affected. I bet women always hated being raped. I bet.
Exactly.
You remember in the 70s, you could get raped and you'd be like, hey, that's Friday. You remember how women were like,
but the way that Hollywood portrayed it. Actually, that's how it was. The way Hollywood says it. That's so funny about your dad, though. I fucking love that. The only reason
I'm willing to bet. So I'm also going to give the benefit of the doubt if there's anybody who's like, Animal House is a great movie. It's classic. I do feel like if I was like, just run down your favorite parts, I'd be so surprised if most of those dudes would be like, I love this horrific scene and this horrific scene.
I love
the implication that
we're all going to love the same spots.
I love the implication that all black people are violent. I love the implication that you can rape whoever you want. And so long as you get like you're a fun guy, that's what matters. I love it.
Right.
No, they're just like, I don't know. I think it's really funny. Everyone's been around an annoying guy playing guitar and you just want to smash it to shit. Belushi did that for me. And it's like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Fact, Leonard Bernstein's son did the soundtrack.
Right.
Or not soundtrack, the score. Yeah,
I would say that I think this movie is funny. Issued, riddled with problems of its time.
Yeah.
But my synopsis, my final thought of it is, I believe you could keep the story that exists in this movie intact and change the movie to be a little bit more receptive, as we say, from all the problems we've spoken about. Get rid of the bar scene, get rid of the toga party. And
not the toga party.
Yeah, I think you should get rid of the toga party.
Really?
I don't think
the Otis Day sing, the most famous thing about the movie.
You can put that song in a different kind of scenario where all it's about is trying to raise awareness for keeping the place alive. It can do or be anything with that band and that song.
I love that it was a toga party. As someone who threw a toga party once in college, simply because I'm sure that it was like residual animal thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
We loved it. There was a moment when they all got so excited where they were like, toga party? There was a piece of me that was like, fuck yeah, dude, it's toga.
That's funny. Because didn't do college, don't care one way or the other about Greek life. I don't think the toga party is necessary to keep making the movie today. You could make that movie. The storyline could be the same.
I think that's
get
like
rid of issues
part.
And it could it's be still, so... it could be funny.
Well, and it's just the vibe of being wasted in a basement, in a nasty mold filled basement, as we saw with the live band. Like that is honestly a big Eugene experience for me. That was very fun.
Well, there's nothing. Yeah. That's an everyday college exactly. experience.
Yeah, exactly. That was the part that felt good. Like everyone's actually having a good time.
You're telling me, you know what I mean? Everybody gets invited to parties?
Uh-oh.
We
used to be friends back in the day.
Okay, I gotta go. I gotta shut this off.
All right, bye.
Adam. My verdict on this movie is the world would be a better place without it existing.
Yeah, probably.
Really?
Yeah, I do feel that way. I think a better route for this movie would have been to take some of those fun scenes and just have them be sketches on SNL. And I think that they could have been just as impactful and better done without needing to have all this like shit that I one just didn't care about. Like just did not care whether or not they got stuff back or together. Cause even when they were losing the frat, it was like the frat's gone. Guess we'll keep hanging out and doing the exact same things we were doing before, right? Like literally nothing's changed in our lives. Mm-hmm. So without like all the like gross stuff attached to it, I think it could have been done in either ways. And there was enough gross stuff in it that I was like, God, I have no desire to see this movie ever again.
Oh, sure. That's totally for sure.
If this movie never exists, we never get Blues Brothers or the Thriller music video or Coming to America. Because maybe John Landis's career doesn't go, but then those people
because Belushi doesn't light off because he's not able to make his trajectory from National Lampoon Radio over to SNL. You know, we have to remember National Lampoon existed pre SNL, which is where all of these guys, a lot of the SNL guys started over there.
This is actually years after, so like he has left SNL.
That's what I thought.
He's left SNL and like
so Animal House is after SNL
after he's done SNL. Yeah,
no shit.
Yeah,
wow.
But he's still riding that wave. I would still basically put it as an SNL movie.
Yeah. And so if I can summarize what Adam's trying to say, it's Aaron. Feel free to apologize at any time.
Yeah, apologize, please.
No, I do think you could make this movie today, reworked, and keeping the story in place and a majority of the jokes that are bad because of like phrasing or who is the butt of the joke. If you just tweak those slightly, you can keep most of the jokes and have them stay funny. I think you could make a good movie.
I agree. Today. If it was a different movie, it would be better. I think that's a great point.
Yes. Yeah. You just need to change it, and it's great.
I don't know, man. If the jokes were different and the characters were different, and the design was different, I think this would actually be a really good movie.
Look, if we made this movie 40 years after it was originally made, it could be great.
This is my stance. This is where I'll be. Is this a bad movie? Brawl, yes. Is it way more harmful than funny? Overall, yes. In the end, did it help Oregon football recruiting in a way by getting more people to know about the University of Oregon and therefore making it so we could one day maybe win a national championship? I think that's yes. So I'm going to say I'm very glad this movie exists.
I don't know.
I mean, if I'm already bowing at the altar of this child shoe labor god over here, Phil Knight, then I'm already selling my soul out to like an Animal House that it existed. Overall,
God, I love Oregon. Oregon is such a wonderful place. That Oregon is such like the Wild West and can't see it in itself at the same time that it's like, who else would come to Oregon?
I'm not shitting you. That was the thing that surprised me the most was how like wild. Oregon really is in certain areas. You're like, holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty safe place.
There's a lot of things that can happen right now.
I think there is so much of Texas that views itself the way that most of Oregon actually is, to be honest. And I feel like the only people who get it is like East Coast people. Sometimes the way that they describe Oregon, where it's like, what's even out there? Blah, 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 blah. It's not the same way people in the West describe Oregon. And in a lot of ways, it's a lot more accurate. It's just, you know, you're in Oregon. You're used to things being spread out and crazy and wild.
As a Texan, it's exactly what I saw in Oregon. I went, oh, shit, this is one of those kind of counties where the sheriff does kind of run fucking everything. And maybe there's underground gambling and drug smuggling the sheriff's office happening right now.
Oregon is country, and yet I don't think most of Oregon sees itself that way, but a lot of it is.
It's a real animal house.
Oh, my God, bro.
Yes.
Damn.
Woo. Man. Well, wow. Adam Broud, you've been a lovely guest. Is there any future dates you would like to plug? Any site that they should go to? Is there anything? We do have listeners from Utah, because whenever we badmouth either Utah football or BYU or anything Utah-centered, they come out in force. So I can tell you, we absolutely have Utah listeners.
I don't know if you know this. My brother-in-law, Jerem Jordan, if you've ever heard that name, he runs BYU Sports Nation. So he's got his own like TV show and stuff like that.
Oh my God.
For BYU and all that. Anyway,
why have we not had
just played BYU a while ago too.
Yeah. You guys should chat with him sometime. That would be so fun. I'm the only Adam Broud who exists in the world. So you can search my name.
Nice.
And I am Adam Broud on all social media, because no one else could have
that name.
That is awesome.
And for all your Oregon listeners as well, I'll probably be doing some shows out in the Portland area here come springtime, is the hope.
Hell so yeah. We'll be there.
Follow me on social media. And then,
where are you based out of right now?
I'm based out of like Salt Lake area.
Oh, okay.
But I travel around and stuff for comedy.
Is there, you see a lot of Utah, like Utes football all around you? Is it Utes crazy? Or is that kind of just, if you're not looking for it, you're not seeing it?
No, it's all over the place. Yeah, Utes for sure. I don't think that it's, I don't know. I don't think it's as intense as the Ducks are. And I live in Provo, so it's like all BYU.
Oh, that makes sense. So BYU is pretty BYU centric, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, BYU fans, Mormons, kind of a little passive as a culture, you know. So not as pushy about some stuff and whatnot as your typical football fan would be in a lot of other areas. But
I guess
but anyway, Liberty. Yeah. But if people want to find me, yeah, search Adam Broud, and then yeah, I'll be planning on coming through Portland and then probably driving down south, setting up some Medford and Eugene stuff as well.
Hell yeah, but we can try to resurrect the old animal house there. Finally. Do the food fight.
Hey,
do the food fight.
I think we should do a 48-hour film fest where we try and recreate the entire movie over 48 hours.
Only the controversial.
I've got a big old bag of crystal meth that'll make sure we work hard.
Dude, I actually do a 48-hour film festival every single year, and it is so fun. So
nice. I just did one.
I just did one too. There you go.
Oh, really?
A horror film festival. We'll combine forces. Animal House 2.0. You know, we've really skyrocketed a lot of young comedians, a lot of sports-minded people to the stratosphere. So just like what happened to Belushi's career, hopefully not the finale of it, but what happened to Belushi's career it's achievable if you want that. But
yeah, you can definitely do it.
Let's say Dan Aykroyd's career. Okay, you know what SNL did for Dan Aykroyd. We're hoping to do that for you. Really get your numbers up there. Really just get you in the stratosphere.
I appreciate that.
You'll gaff again. How about that? Everybody wonderful. Loves Gaffigan. Okay.
It
was wonderful seeing you. Thanks for talking about some horrible scenes, but fun talking with you. Absolutely.
Very fun. Very fun. And good to meet you.
If BYU plays Oregon in anything, we will make up an excuse to get you back. We don't have to talk about the sport or the team even, but it'd be fun to talk.
I can't. So that would be great.
Yeah. Adam, you've been a lovely guest. We'll figure out some reason to get you back on in the future. Comedy Church. Keep your eye out on tour dates, everyone. At Adam Broud on the terrible website that is X. But you can at least
and Instagram.
And Instagram and TikTok and in life.
And in life. If you see him, tell him to this episode.
Yep, this is also be Adam Broud.
Adam Broud?
Yeah. Yeah, that's no. Just
I
on
gotta
Twitter.
Say, I disagree with you. I loved all those scenes in Animal House.
Yeah.
I hated the guitar and I hated the
Yeah.
That was crass.
You know, as all a right. kid, that was the one scene that always stuck out, and I would do at the dinner table as a child.
Oh, I would hate you as a kid.
It's so
oh,
funny.
Oh, God, I would hate you. I'd be done, though.
Well, you know you only get to do it twice, and then your parents are, like, really just fucking screaming at
yeah.
you. So I did it probably, like, twice.
That's You're why Pluto instead you put the food in a pinata, and then you gift it to your friend on his birthday.
That is something that was done to me in therapy. All right, everyone. We'll see y'all next week. Quack, quack.
Quack, quack.